servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. The gospel reading is from Matthew 13. Another parable he put before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net which was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into vessels, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire. There men will weep and gnash their teeth." Have you understood all this? They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasures what is new and what is old." The contemporary reading is from Short Stories by Jesus. The parable should disturb. If we hear it and are not disturbed, there is something seriously amiss with our moral compass. It would be better if we perhaps started by seeing the parable not as about heaven or hell or final judgment, but about kings, politics, violence, and the absence of justice. If we do, we might be getting closer to Jesus. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
When I moved from the UK to Baghdad in the early 1980s, one of the first things I did was explore my new neighbourhood. The Tigris River flowed past one end of our shortish street, and a busy road bustling with people and shops of every variety ran past the other end. On my first exploratory wander, a delicious aroma led me to the local bakery, a hole in the wall belting out heat from the roaring fire inside a dome-shaped oven, a bit like a giant pizza oven. The bakers flocked the diamond-shaped lumps of dough onto large wooden paddles, slid them into the fire, and a little later retrieved the crisp baked golden loaves to sell for a few dinars to the waiting customers. The bread was leavened, like that in the parable we've just heard, not the flatbread that we generally associate with Middle Eastern cuisine. As I joined the shortest of the 3 queues stretched over the dusty yellow clay footpath, shouting broke out around me, and I quickly realised that the people were shouting and gesticulating at me. I glanced around, and I'm not sure how I missed the fact that of the three queues, one comprised women, another men in civvies, and another soldiers in uniform, many with their weapons slung over their shoulder. This was at the height of the Iran-Iraq war. Soldiers were served first, hence that was the shortest queue, which I unwittingly joined. My face burned in embarrassment, and I apologised in probably incomprehensible Arabic, and I joined the longer queue, women only, and waited my turn. Lesson learned, it was worth it. It was probably the most delicious bread I've ever tasted. I remembered that experience when I read and researched the parable of the leaven before today's service. It shaped my decision to talk about this parable out of all the others that we've heard today, together with the more recent reason that many people took up bread making during our stage 4 lockdown, and particularly, I understand, sourdough bread. But why parables? In the set of parables Anne read today, Jesus uses them to describe the kingdom of God, the future realm promised to listeners if they follow Jesus' way. But they're puzzling, and they often leave us scratching our heads in confusion. Well, they leave me that way anyway. Earlier in Matthew's gospel, the disciples asked Jesus why he spoke in parables to the crowds gathered beside the Sea of Galilee. His response is as much an enigma as the parables themselves. He paraphrases Isaiah chapter 6, in which God tells Isaiah he should continue to preach, even though the people refuse to hear his message. Like the sower who spreads seeds on the hardened, rocky, and weed-infested soil, as well as the fertile ground, Jesus continues to teach the crowds, knowing that many listeners reject his teaching or simply do not listen. As far as we know, they're not actually Jesus' words, although the Jesus Seminar, which lays much stress on identifying what they think are his original words, deems the parable of the leaven the most likely to be the original. Perhaps gospel writers knew of Jesus' storytelling and used the parables to try and explain something they also had difficulty understanding. Jesus had promised a new world that had not yet come to pass. They, the disciples, wanted to continue to attract new followers, so they used the old Jewish teaching tradition of mashal, or parables, and shidoh, or riddles, as found in Psalm 78, or problemata, translated as riddles, in Psalm 77. Jesus and the gospel writers used parables because they knew that we respond to stories, and I sense a playfulness about the parables, perhaps another strategy to engage listeners. But parables are more than just stories. They're meant to change us, not to reassure us. They're intended to enhance our consciousness of our own ignorance or unawareness. We could say they encourage us to think outside the box and to listen to others to broaden our viewpoints and our thinking. Jesus told parables in community because it's only in diverse community that we're exposed to other people's thoughts and views and opinions on the world, thereby challenging us to reassess our own. As Amy Jill Levine said in the quote that Anne read just now, the parable is not about heaven or hell or final judgment in some vague, romanticised or fear-filled future. It's about power and violence and the absence of justice in the present, in the place where we are. Levine asserts that if we hear a parable and are not disturbed, there is something seriously amiss with our moral compass. The parable of the leaven appears in Luke and the secret gospel of Thomas, as well as in Matthew. Luke and Matthew both pair it with the parable of the mustard seed, and the two reflect the gendered division of labour that was traditional in biblical times. Men worked outside, women inside. Men sow, women bake. Here, women and their work are valued. The Gospel of Thomas's writer compares the kingdom of God to the woman who mixes the dough rather than the leaven, as in Matthew and Luke, giving it a slightly different emphasis. The kingdom of heaven, the promised future realm, is like the woman, reminding us that women are connected with the sacred in the Judeo-Christian tradition. A popular interpretation of this parable is that the leaven represents the increasing numbers of Jesus' followers spreading the gospel. The small amount of leaven in the dough increases the size of the bread, in the same way that Jesus started with a few followers and the movement grew as those followers spread the word. A confusing problem with this parable lies in the translation of the verb encrypto from the root meaning hide, or to do something secretly that it can be revealed as something wonderful. Encrypto is often translated as mix in this parable, but that obscures its true meaning. The leaven is not mixed, it is hidden, so it can be revealed as something transformative and marvellous. Using a humble, everyday symbol of leaven and the woman who bakes it into bread, this parable stands in a long line of biblical stories about God providing food for people in times of trial. And the measures of flour are images of abundance. The quantity is the same amount of flour as Sarah used to bake for the messengers in Genesis from the reading we heard this morning. It would have actually made enough bread to feed a whole village. Such abundance recalls other examples of abundance and generosity in the Judeo-Christian tradition. God feeding the Israelites with manna in Exodus, the wedding at Cana, and the feeding of the 5,000. These stories, as with this parable, reassure the growing community of Jesus' followers that God will continue to provide for them. And of course, Mary and Joseph laid the baby Jesus in a manger, an eating trough. And by the time of John's gospel, Jesus is seen as the bread of life. So there we have it, the valuing of women's work, something secretive and potentially transformative if uncovered, links back to key Jewish Bible narratives and connections with notions of abundance and generosity, food, and Jesus as the bread of life. Those years ago when I lived in Baghdad, I was acutely aware that I was close to locations of Bible stories. I walked along the street of processions in Babylon where Nebuchadnezzar led the Jews into captivity more than 1,500 years earlier. I worshipped in a Catholic church next door to a mosque. That meant that we would sometimes be consuming the bread and wine of communion to the background sound of muezzin calling the faithful to prayer next door. I loved the warm diamond-shaped loaves of bread from the little bakery between the church and my street. But I don't recall that I ever stopped to reflect on the parable of the leaven and what that might mean for my community and me. But here it is. It's like a riddle, shrouded in mystery and secrecy, perhaps intended not to reassure us, as Amy Jill Levine suggests, but to unsettle us, to encourage us to be activists for change when we see an absence of justice. As Amy Jill Levine writes also, one does not need to worship Jesus as Lord or Saviour for the parables to have meaning. The people who first heard him did not at first worship him, yet they paid attention, because for those with ears to hear and some patience to ponder, the parable spoke to their hearts. Whether you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, whether you believe he is a rabbi who told stories containing important messages, or a Jewish man from Nazareth who spoke wise words, there's something in the parables for us all. In the end, a parable is a mystery with multiple possible meanings. Maybe it's a reminder to us that the realm of God or promised future Jesus speaks of is present when everyone in our community has enough to eat, or to extend it even further, when everyone has adequate housing, food, clothing, medical care, education, and time to enjoy their life and each other. Maybe it's that simple. Amen.